When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QUEERFAM for a free level 2 subscription at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
And I think it's the important part for trans people and queer people, like, is that we listen to one another's stories as well, right? So it's not that just that everyone else listens to our stories, it's that we understand one another's stories as well. Because it was really hard for me in the early parts of my transition when I just assumed that everyone had this really easy transition and that once you finally came to terms with being trans, that everything was going to be easier. Like that you'd hit this point and things would be like, I'm me now. And it's not really that way in my transition. Like, things are still really hard as I move through things. Like, it wasn't like coming to this understanding and then being like, I'm free. Like, everything is easy now. Like, there's still a lot of really difficult parts.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I'm your host, and you beautiful folks are tuning into the show whose mission is to uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And this episode is doing just that. Shocking, right? Shocking. Before I go into my guest, I want to take a moment to thank our newest Patreon members. I'm going to say your names loud and proud. Jeremiah Hodgson. Thank you so much, Jeremiah. You rock my world. And Rebecca Egler. Rebecca, I see you, Rebecca. Thank you. Thank you for joining my Patreon. Thank you for supporting the show. If any of you out there have a few extra bucks lying around and want to support a cause such as this, you're just going to head over to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast, pick a tier, join, and start getting that bonus content. Thank you so much. And my guest today, OMG, this conversation is so good, y'all. I had the privilege of sitting down with M. Reynolds, aka The M. Reynolds on Instagram. M is a trans parent to two kiddos in a blended family. And we spent a bit of time talking about M's family journey to parenthood and parenthood journey, but we actually honestly spent more time talking about transitions and the state of the world for LGBTQIA plus individuals, particularly the trans community, and how scary it is in the world right now to show up. It's a really scary time to be seen. And M just has a really wonderful way of speaking and putting things in perspective. I was just really taken at how eloquently M explains and ponders things. I guess I would just say it's a really thoughtful conversation, and I hope you all enjoy it. But of course, before I roll that tape, or before Helen and Beulah roll that tape, I have something really cool to tell you. Well, first of all, the thing that's not cool is my son is homesick today with a fever, and he's right outside the door behind me. If you're watching the video, you can see that. And he's watching a movie that I just put on for him, and I'm hoping he doesn't interrupt us, but he might, and that's parenting life. But he is watching a movie, and I have something for all of you. He happens to be watching the Paw Patrol Mighty movie that just came out, was just released for streaming, and the Paramount folks reached out to me recently and wanted to offer my listeners promo codes to stream it for free. So I was like, okay, yeah, because if my listeners have kids who are anything like my son out there, they friggin' love everything Paw Patrol. So I just put it on for him. He's so excited. And I want you all to be able to give it to your kids too. Okay, here's what I need you to do to get a code. You're going to go to the review section of wherever you listen to your podcasts, and you're going to write a review, hopefully a good one. Please, a good one. Like, write a good review, please. And then you're going to take a screenshot of it, and you're going to email it to me at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com. The first four will get the code. I only have four codes. So capiche, capas, we get it. Write a review. Send me a photo of the review. You're going to get a code. You're going to have a really fun party with some five-year-olds or six or seven. So do it. It's fun. As soon as I'm done with this intro here, I'm going to go sit down and watch it with my guy because he's not feeling so well. Before I roll the tape, I have two more. I actually have a lot of things I need to talk about in this intro. I'm sorry. I try to get them in and out, bada bing, bada boom, but I do have a couple of things I want to say to y'all. I have a little ally mail to read to you. I asked for allies to reach out and let me know how this show resonates with them. And boy, have the allies shown up. So this one came from Brandon. Brandon wrote, "I have been a longtime listener to your podcast ever since your very first episode many years ago." Wow, go you, Brandon. "And even though I am a cisgender straight male, your podcast has really helped me become a better ally of the LGBTQ plus community. Keep up the amazing work, Jamie." Oh, Brandon, thank you. I love you. And I love hearing from all of you, whether you're an L, a G, a B, a T, a Q, an I, an A, a plus, an ally, whatever it is. If you've got something you want to tell me, email me at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com or leave me a voicemail at 646-470-1840. There are so many ways. I usually only share one listener feedback per episode because I do try to get right into the interview. And I know y'all are dying to hear the conversation I had with M. Reynolds. But I have something else I want to share that I think is going to give us all a little food for thought, so to speak. I got another email from a listener named Jennifer, and this was in regards to Lisa the Therapist and Dr. Mark's episode that just recently aired about, basically it was about all things donor conception, right? So Jennifer brings up a really good point that I'm sad and kind of embarrassed to say. It didn't even cross my mind during the convo with Lisa and Mark. And so I'm going to read what she wrote. She starts out saying, "You know, my wife and I love your podcast so much. Thank you for doing it." And then she said, "I listened to your new episode with Lisa Schumann and Dr. Mark Landeris. And I want to bring your attention to an issue that I think was missing in this episode. Their overarching statement that medical history of the donor should be prioritized above all else is inherently ableist. And it's ideas like these that lead us down a path towards eugenics. The U.S. already has a tragic history of eugenics and forced sterilization, of which the queer community was a target. Mm-hmm. And I want to scream from the rooftops that disabled people like myself are no less valuable and every bit as deserving to reproduce and parent as those without disabilities. If we don't follow the lead of our allies in the reproductive justice and disability justice movements, donor choice will only become more sparse. More importantly, she says she wants to uplift all the hard work those in the disability community have done to advocate for reproductive justice so that history doesn't repeat itself. Jennifer also sent me an article about centering disability visibility in reproductive health care that I read, and I'm putting it in the show notes for anyone else who'd like to read it. It was eye-opening for me. And yes, Jennifer, you are completely right. First of all, I do want to say disabled people can live beautiful, fulfilling lives, and they deserve to parent and reproduce. Yes. And if we are saying that, you know, donors with X, Y, Z, whatever that we deem undesirable are ones we should like cross off our list, then we're doing a disservice to folks with disabilities and the community at large. And I don't want to do that. And, you know, thank you, Jennifer, for giving me this perspective. And I'm sad that with all the talk I do of inclusion for all on the show, the voices of queer folks with disabilities haven't really been heard from on the show. And if I want to uplift marginalized communities like ours, I need to uplift all marginalized communities. And so, in the name of transitions, which is turning out to be a bit of a theme throughout this episode, I'm transitioning as of right now to doing a better job of centering the voices of folks with disabilities on this little here show. And of course, I'm going to be starting with Jennifer and her wife, because as you know, in my response to Jennifer, right away, I was like, oh my God, can you come on? Because that's how I do. That's how I roll. And Jennifer, thankfully, said yes. And so you're going to want to be on the lookout for that for next season, which is coming up. And if you are a member of the disabled community and have a queer family story that you want to share, I want to hear it. Reach out, email me. Let's hear all the stories. I'm serious about this, and I am going to do a better job at that. This is one marginalized community in our big umbrella of community that has not had a voice on my show yet, and I'm going to change that right now. So just some food for thought. If you want to read that article, check the show notes. I'm really happy that y'all continue to reach out to me and offer me insights that I wouldn't normally see, honestly. So appreciate it. I'm going to do some digging and learn a lot, I think. Thanks, Jennifer. All right. So that's it. It is really, really time for me to roll this tape. I have yammered on way too long. So I'm going to ask my lovely assistants, Helen and Beulah, who don't exist. And Helen is even like, you have lost some listeners. Get your butt moving. Nobody wants to hear it. Like, Helen has that cigarette hanging out the mouth, not playing around. Helen's not real. Neither is Beulah. I don't have an assistant. I do have Nicole, who's actually going to roll the tape, actually. Okay, here we go. Ladies, roll that tape. Thank you so much.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Em.
Hello, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Very good. It's always fun to take time in a workday to be able to have like conversations. So I love this.
I know, you're literally like in an office at work right now.
I am, yeah.
Good job. And what part of the world are you in, Em?
I'm in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Yes. Yeah, where we're experiencing, well, not shockingly, a heat wave as opposed to what people expect the cold of Canada. So
interesting.
Yeah, huh. Exactly.
Oh, this life, this world is crazy. This world is upside down.
I know it is. Ay, ay. Yeah.
Okay, well, Em, otherwise known as the Em Reynolds,
mm-hmm.
on the socials. I know that, yep. Because I follow you, and that's kind of how we found you.
Hurrah.
Yes, you have a beautiful account where you basically just like chronicle your beautiful life. And I cannot wait to learn more, because listen, I would tell everybody at home, if you're not following Em, you got to go follow Em, because Em is like a poet. I'm not even kidding, Em. I was reading through some of the things you put just in the copy of the post, and you're beautiful. All your photos, just beautiful. And then what was it you said? I'm going to butcher it so you can say it better. But it was, love all the trans people in your life so much that they cry happy tears in their right. sleep. Oh my God. Yeah. So beautiful.
And I'll be like, honest, like I very much don't even, I write them spur of the moment. Or I often will think back and I'll read some of the things that I wrote. Uh-huh. Like, did I even write that?
Like, you did.
So it's certainly, as you said, I do remember.
It's amazing.
Writing that one. Yeah.
Profound. That's the word I'm going to use to describe some. And it's just, ooh, the copy. You know what I mean? Like, I put posts up all the time, and sometimes the copy is, I'm just going to write a little quick, you know? But yours are profound and poignant, and I really like them. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I already told people kind of who you are, sort of, not really. So now it's your turn. I want you to give us at home your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here. And I'm going to put a timer up, but don't get nervous. It's just for fun. And you can run over. I will never cut you off. It's just literally just fun. Okay? Yep. I'm going to say, on your mark. Get set. Okay. Go.
I am M. Reynolds, and I am a trans parent to two young kids. And really, the things that I like talking about most are myself. And really, the idea that transition can happen later in life, and that is a really valid thing that can happen. It's a really beautiful thing that can happen. And the other thing that I've realized that I really like talking about is that transition can also be really hard and difficult, and that that also doesn't negate how valid and important and lovely a transition is. And so those are really the all-encompassing parts of my own journey that may or may not apply to other people's. But I think it's really important to share the pieces of my journey that I didn't see everywhere. And so that just in case there's other people out there who may be struggling with the same things I am, they see that there are other people like me out there.
I don't know
what my time was there, but
I'm not even going to look at it. You definitely ran over for sure. But I don't care, because like I just said, you say so many beautiful, lovely things. And you know what? You're doing a really good service to the world. And I'm just grateful for you.
Thank you. So grateful
that you're out there being visible and showing up for all of us who need it. Right. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait to hear more about you. So can we like take it way back to little M?
We can.
How did we get onto the path of M becoming the M you are today in this moment?
I talk about this story every time I go into therapy session and with a new therapist. They go into the, tell me, let's go back to the beginning, right? So I was a little kid, played basically every sport possible. I was definitely a quieter kid. I loved reading lots of books. I would read Care Bear books at night.
I loved the Care Bears.
The one part of my story, I don't know why I always like communicating, but I had a waterbed growing up, and for whatever reason, I really like talking about having a waterbed. And
because
I
that's
thought that
super
that was really
cool.
Integral. I know, it really was.
That and is
I
like was super cool.
Only one in my family that had a waterbed. I don't know how I ended up with a waterbed, but I held on to it for as long as possible.
Because yeah, you did.
It was just really cool to have a waterbed. And eventually there was a leak in it and I had to give it up. But
dang.
Went through high school the same way, played every sport possible, was also very quiet. Went to university, very quiet there, made almost no friends in my first year of university living in residence, is actually where I work now. I mean, I didn't have a particularly difficult, like growing up wasn't particularly hard for me. It was just very quiet and sports focused, had two younger brothers, still have two younger brothers.
It's good.
It's interesting to talk about childhood because when you read about some trans people or you read about some transition stories, there's a lot of like stories about I've known since I was like three or known since I was four. And I don't know that I have the same story. And a lot of reasons is possibly because I didn't know about the existence of trans people. I didn't grow up. I went to Catholic schools. I went to church. And there certainly just was not the education around what a trans person was, and there was a real lack of education around it. And so it's not that I knew I was trans since I was a kid. I felt okay in my body. I didn't feel great. There was a lot of moments where I would look at my body and try to like imagine myself in other bodies. I would dress up in women's clothing a lot too. So there were things that would happen, but again, without knowing what this possibility was, it was really difficult for me to kind of put any understanding on things. And that continued for a lot of my life, like into my late 20s, probably even 30s. I mean, there just really wasn't a lot of material put in front of me as to what a trans person was or the existence of trans people. And I think that's really how childhood and young adulthood went for me. It was just lived a boy life, playing sports, being quiet, doing school, you know, having a few friends. And that was pretty much it for me, not making a ton of new friends outside of high school, didn't make friends in university and stuff. And then eventually when I met like my co-parent and we had kids, we wanted to make sure that we raised kids with a full wealth of information around like the queer community. And it was at that point that I started to understand everything around me as well. So as I was raising kids, started to see more about myself.
Were you identifying as queer at that point?
Not originally, no. Not it was fairly early. We had already been married and had kids. And then that's when I kind of came out as, pansexual is the first step of my kind of queer journey. But
I love the steps, the coming out steps. Yeah. I had a lot of them.
Yes, exactly. And that's the one thing I talk about now is I've just stopped even pretending there will be an end to it.
There
will be more steps. I'm now sure of it. I don't know what they will be, but I am almost positive there will be more steps along my journey. So
that's across the board for everyone, right? I mean, we're constantly changing. And I think that's a big, important lesson that we can learn from the queer community and the trans community in particular. But it's interesting because I recently interviewed a woman named Bethany Grace Howe. She came out at the age of 47. And she said basically the same as you, like she had no inkling.
Right.
As, you know, growing like her whole life all the way up to 47. And this is a really common occurrence. It's not always like so obvious and like in your face and you know it right away. It's not. I think Bethany said she read a study where it was like 33% of people don't know it until like there's like an event that happened. Like basically for her, the event was she saw Caitlyn Jenner on the cover of a magazine and that triggered in her, oh, that's me, I'm trans. You know, it's really interesting when you think about it. And I had no idea I was queer growing up either, right? So there's so many layers to this.
I know.
Not to take away from your experience by bringing in my queer coming out. And I hope that that didn't come across that way.
No. And I think it's the important part for trans people and queer people, like, is that we listen to one another's stories as well, right? So it's not that just that everyone else listens to our stories. It's that we understand one another's stories as well. Because it was really hard for me in the early parts of my transition when I just assumed that everyone had this really easy transition and that once you finally came to terms with being trans, that everything was going to be easier. Like that you'd hit this point and things would be like, I'm me now. And it's not really that way in my transition. Like things are still really hard as I move through things. Like it wasn't like coming to this understanding and then being like, I'm free. Like everything is easy now. Like there's still a lot of really difficult parts. Like I've come to an understanding that's more comfortable for me, but I still deal with a lot of dysphoria and I still deal with a lot of things that come with the understanding that I am trans. And now there's a lot of hard things that come with it. And because there are a lot of hard things that come with it, there's a lot of kind of sadness, I guess, as well. And it's harder to deal with that if you have to keep that to yourself is what I've kind of come to realize. And it's difficult to have to think, I am trans, but I can't talk about the hard parts of being trans because that will invalidate everything, right? So it's difficult to kind of move through some of the parts in my life right now, thinking if I talk about this, people will say, maybe you're not trans then, or maybe, you know, so it's been hard to kind of move through different pieces while still knowing I am trans. And this is, so it's been a really difficult kind of process as well. And I think that's why it's important that we all kind of listen to one another's stories as well as other people understand that it is difficult, but it's also beautiful at the same time that there are so many different layers to it all. So I think it's hugely important for everyone to understand those kind of intricacies to everyone's, because there are people that do know from the age of three and are able to get that transition help in their teens and why I think it's so important that we do support the kids that do know this stuff.
I think that also, you know, like it's human nature to want to put people in a box and tie it up, you know, and okay, you're trans, so this is your track, right?
Yeah.
You're a lesbian, so this is your track. Wait a second, but you don't look like a lesbian. You know what I mean? And it's really unfathomable because we have these preconceived notions in these boxes of what everything is. And that's why I think the queer community in particular is going to change the world, because just by our sheer nature of being, we don't fit these boxes.
Yeah.
But it's a tough road. It's hard.
It is. Yeah. It is for sure.
Yeah. And then you're faced with backlash from people who just don't understand it and say stupid shit.
Exactly. And then that's every day, right? And that's
right.
That's all the time. And now it's not necessarily every day the mean stuff directly to you,
right?
If you stay in your house every day. But
even there,
it is certainly safe. It's gotten to the point where it's now impossible to not see hard, difficult stuff about the queer community every single day. And not just mean things, but like legislative difficult things every day. It's not even just random white guy on the internet being mean anymore. It is now political leaders being mean.
And evil, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so it is really difficult to just go about your work day when it's impossible to get through an entire day without seeing something like that. So
right, and having to just keep getting up every day and putting one foot in front of the other and being brave. Yeah. I mean, it's why representation matters so much.
Yeah.
That's why visibility matters so much. We can talk for days on the shit that's going down in this country and around the world. And I think we probably will circle back to it many times in this conversation because it really is scary times. But I want to take it to, you met your partner, you were living that hetero life.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hetero relationship. I don't know what to call it, like a non-queer relationship. and then you had kids.
Yep.
And then you said, we wanted to make sure they knew about the LGBTQ community, basically, right? So where did that come from? And I would love to hear about that.
My partner at the time worked at Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were immersed in like sex positive education and everything. And so we had all these great sex educators around us. My partner was a great sex educator. And there was really no question in our minds that we wanted to raise our kids. I mean, even with really basic things such as like using proper terms for like anatomy and everything, right? So,
oh, you mean don't say you're tutu?
Exactly. So everything was, it was like really basic, like parenting stuff for us to have the kids who would be in school, like as 4 and 5 year olds, like correcting teachers who were, you know, like felt it, you couldn't use words like vulva and this penis and stuff. And so it was for us really important to have up-to-date sexual and health education information that we would use to teach our kids. And again, because we had so many amazing friends who were in the like sexual education field, it was around us all the time that we would have conversations around these things. And so, and at the time as well, because of where I work, I'm able to take courses here as well. And so I started taking courses in like the Women and Gender Studies program. And so I started taking courses in like masculinities and some of the intro courses here for women and gender studies. And so I was just starting to take more courses and getting a better understanding about feminism and everything. Uh-huh. And everything that I was learning and teaching my kids about really just gave me more insight into, one, how to talk to my kids and how to be a human myself, and like how to break down kind of the way I was socialized as like a boy, and how to kind of move out of how I was socialized as a boy, and to kind of break down, once you start breaking that down, kind of understand more about myself. And that kind of led me to some revelations over time. So again, I talked about how first came out as pansexual, but then a few years later, I think came out as non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a couple of years ago, I guess, that moved a little further along the transition path.
Yeah.
And I think that when I came out as non-binary, I knew that that was what I had hoped to eventually move towards, but I just didn't have it in me to come out and say at that point in time. So
So you did it in baby steps.
I did it in baby steps. I did it in what felt okay for me to do at the time. So
which is totally 100% awesome. Yeah. Right. And if that's how you have to come out, that's how you come out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do it your own
totally
way.
Encourage everyone to do if, hey, people feel comfortable coming out as quickly and as fast as right. they would like, then that's what they should do. And as slowly as they would like, then that's what they should do. So
exactly. I know it took me like 10 years. There were lots of baby steps.
Yeah.
So many baby steps.
Exactly.
Even though I was living a lesbian life the whole time, I still was not. I wasn't fully lesbian. No. So you have this revelation and, you know, you start having revelations, I should say. It wasn't just one revelation. And then obviously you talk to your family about this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, can you like walk through that? Like how did the conversation go and what was it like for you? And I know you can't speak to your partner's experience of it, you know, because you're not in their head, but.
Yeah. I mean, it was well received. I have a very supportive family. Mm-hmm. The kids were also, again, because it's the other bonus of raising kids to, one, know what being trans is, to understand the importance of support for trans people and like that coming out as trans doesn't change the person and everything. And so, I mean, my kids were the biggest kind of, especially my youngest daughter, like the biggest supporter of
I love that.
Name change and pronoun change and everything. So
it's no thing to them. It is no thing at all.
No.
Right? How old were your kids at the time?
So they're 13 and 11 now. So they were probably like 10 and 8 around the time that pronouns started changing and everything. So yeah, for them, it was just a natural change. Now, the one thing that was a bit more difficult for them was moving away from like a term like dad. For some reason was a bit more difficult. So they just call me by my name now. And so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we were able to find like, and I don't care. I'm not some, again, there's another thing like you can call me by my name. That's totally fine. We kind of just worked together to find out what was most comfortable for all of us. And I just didn't want to be called dad anymore. It wasn't that I wanted to be called mom. It's that I didn't want to be called dad. So we worked together to find like a compromise for what was comfortable for everybody. And these are the things that were kind of like helpful for our family.
I love it. And I talk about that a lot on this show. You know, like we come up with our names because, like I said, we're not in the box. And so it's so funny, the names, not funny, but just like it's so interesting, the names that every single family I interview, we have so many different names for ourselves with the kids. And I love it.
Like, and when you think of like the traditional idea of like, can't call me by my name because it's not respectful or anything, but it shows so much more respect to me that we sat down and worked through what works for us all to call me than it does to kind of demand that my kids call me by a specific thing that I've chosen or something. Mm-hmm. So it was so much more meaningful to me that we spent time together coming up with something that was valuable and comfortable for all of us than to kind of like command that something must be used by them for me. So,
right. So intentional.
Very much so. Yeah.
Just intentional. I'll say it a million times on this show. There's so much intention in our families.
Definitely.
All right. So they call you M. They were like super cool with it. Partner was totally cool. And like, it sounds like a pretty good scenario.
Yep.
As things go.
It really was a lot of support. And my family, like my parents as well, have been very supportive.
Go ahead, parents. You go ahead with your bad selves, parents.
And they have been excellent, you know, but learning, like continually learning and everything. And they actually gave me my new middle name and everything. So I sat down with Andrea, who's my co-parent. So Andrea and I are now separated.
Okay.
But continue to co-parent together.
Gotcha.
Closely.
I've been calling Andrea your partner. My bad.
Yeah. And I mean, so Andrea and I are still very close and co-parent together. And it was Andrea and I who helped come up with my name. Mm-hmm. Because I was named after my father, my middle name, I offered them the opportunity to come up with my middle name. And so they re-middle named me as well. So they gave me the middle name Hope, which was one that they had had for me. So it was like a full family participation event. So
yeah, I love it.
It's great.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right, folks, you know, every once in a while with our LGBTQIA plus family stories, there is someone who really does just fall pregnant the natural way, but that's not usually the case with our families. And so I have something special for you. I have a promo code for any of you in the market for a little bit of sperm. And it's the same cryobank that I made my babies with. It's California Cryobank, full service sperm bank, y'all. And for over 45 years, which is a long time, California Cryobank has proudly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQIA plus clients create the families of their dreams, including many who've been on this show, including myself. And they are the number one sperm bank in the U.S. They ship to over 40 countries. They have one of the largest and most diverse selection of sperm donors, which I love. I sometimes just love to go shopping and see what's out there nowadays. I do. Do y'all do that? I do. Anyway, and if you want to do that, use this code. You're just going to visit cryobank.com and you're going to use code QUEERFAM, and that's going to get you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. That's huge. That's a lot of money. Also, it can be used towards a level 3 subscription. So you'll get a discount on that as well. So go do that. Go look and see what's out there. Maybe you're ready to make that family. Let's make some babies, y'all. And then come on the show and tell me about it. Thank you so much. I love hearing your stories. Queer Fam. Code Queer Fam. California Cryobank.
Love is love.
I want to get into, because you were starting to talk about your name change and the mm-hmm. your chosen name, and you had a thing you were going to talk about. But before we say that, I want to just say, like, my mom, baby boomer in her 70s, wonderful ally, like, listens to every episode, you know, is like right there. But the one she has the most trouble with wrapping her head around and like fully understanding is non-binary or gender
right.
non-conforming.
Yep.
It's yep. really hard for her. And it sounds like your parents are doing a good job.
Yes, they are.
For someone like my mom, who's still just like, I don't understand and why, and asking all kinds of questions. Is there anywhere you can point folks who really, really want to understand it, but are still grappling with understanding?
I would probably have to ask my mom.
Yeah.
Like what resources have been best? Because my mom has done, I think the one thing that I've appreciated a lot has been that they've done a lot of their own research as well. Like, they haven't really used me as the go-to for everything. Because, again, that is something that can get, I don't mind answering questions a lot, mm-hmm. but it can get tiring.
Of course.
To be.
And like, here I am asking you all the questions.
Well, I mean, I have volunteered into this
yes.
situation.
Okay, yes, that's true.
But it's like, sometimes can be difficult to be like the go-to for mm-hmm. for information on all things. And it's been nice to not have to do that all the mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, for my own understanding of a lot of things, I use Instagram. Like, I basically, I follow people
uh-huh.
and listen to what they're sharing. And I think that for me too, if I get to a point where I don't really understand why someone is doing things the way they're doing, and maybe just look at it as like what is the impact on me? Like,
yes.
And there tends to be no impact on me when exactly. things are happening.
Exactly.
And so it's like, they look very happy. Great.
Yes.
I may not understand why this is happening, why they are doing this. There's no impact. Wonderful. I
yes.
will move on. And so I think a lot of times too, there's the, maybe I don't understand something here. Is there a need for me to move on? Like, what's the more important thing here? Is
right.
it for me to just move forward? If they're asking for support, I can do that. But for the most part, they're just sharing something happy and good.
Right.
And there's no need for me to understand more.
Yes.
Except they're happy.
Maybe it's not for you to understand, right? Maybe
exactly.
It's,
yeah.
That's what I tell her. I say, Mom, you just listen to what people tell you and you believe them. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to think any more about it.
Exactly. And I think a lot of the time that's maybe my best answer for things is,
yeah,
you maybe understand it as best as you need to right now.
Yeah. And also, I love what you said. How does it impact you in any way?
Yep.
Right? That's a really wonderful point to bring up.
Yeah.
That's a good way to make decisions too, I think, like in general.
Exactly. Now, like some of the people that I don't understand do have an impact on me because they're really mean people who are actively hurting our communities and stuff. And so in those cases, I try to do a bit more understanding, and often I can't understand miseducation, you know, lack of understanding and everything. But in these kind of cases, there is no impact on me. So it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Have fun doing the thing that you enjoy doing.
I'm going to add
It's not hurting people. So.
Right. Yeah. It's a good way to figure out if you're on the right path. Is it hurting anyone?
Exactly. I like to think of it that way. So, yeah.
So you and your co-parent ended up separating.
Yeah.
When did you start your transition? What age were you?
Maybe 41. I'm trying to separate. This is another thing that I find difficult, is separating when transition actually started. And so, because it's like a social transition, maybe around 41, and with hormone replacement therapy around 42, I think. So 41, 42, in my early 40s is probably the most accurate response. But I'm just coming up on 2 years on hormone replacement therapy, I guess.
Okay, congrats.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a great journey. So
that's awesome. I'm happy for you. So now you are co-parenting.
Yep.
And how's it all working out for you now? You're a parent. You have two children. You have a co-parent. What's it like being a queer parent out here?
I also live with my current wonderful partner, Hannah.
Okay, Hannah.
Our kids are currently with me. So we do have a 50-50 split time where, I mean, we live like 8 minutes apart. So we're still living close. But yeah, kids at this minute in time are with us. And it's still fairly new. I mean, this has been for a few months. It's new getting to, you know, like follow these schedules and figuring out rooms and decorating rooms and getting kids to follow chore schedules and everything.
Yeah, the struggle is real. The struggle is real.
Like I said, with 13 and 11-year-olds, there's different levels of wanting to do things at different times of days. So it's been like learning for everyone. It's been adjusting for everyone. There's also eight different cats combined in the mix. So it's like
cats everywhere. There you go.
Yeah. And so it's, like I said, there's lots of like moving pieces to it and lots of adjustment to it. And I think like everyone involved in it is like trying to make everything work as part of it, make it work for the kids and then for the adults as well. Like, I mean, there's lots of trying to make sure that adults feel comfortable in this as well. I mean, obviously for children, but also to make sure that in such a big change, things feel okay for adults with such a huge shift in how people are living as well. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not just one transition, right? There's a lot of transitions.
Exactly.
Happening. Yeah. There's
exactly
your transition and then your kids' transitions and your co-parents' transitions and your partner's transitions. And
there's a lot going on. For
there's
sure.
A lot of and then your cats, like, forget about
it. I know. Exactly. Exactly. So we've had to like merge different cat families together and everything. So it's gone interestingly, but they're all adjusting quite well. So
that's good. So what's it like parenting now? You know, now you're a queer parent. What's it been like? How's it going? And from that lens of being a queer parent.
We're also parents to a trans child, which is also an interesting element to it all as you watch like legislation come in that's so aggressively anti kids growing up.
So scary.
And because that kind of thing is taking root in Canada as well, and it's very difficult to watch as a parent and as a trans person. Again, like I mentioned before, my kids have been so amazing as part of my transition, and my kids are often the ones educating their friends on what a trans person is. And as someone who is, I cannot often what would be termed like a passing trans woman. There's a lot of like education that goes on for my kids, and specifically my youngest daughter, who does most of the educating for her friends. My youngest daughter is very outgoing. And so when kids will say things to her when they misgender me, Charlotte speaks up every time. And so it's like,
wow,
there's a lot of advocating that goes on Charlotte's part, which is both heartwarming and it's also really hard to watch. Yeah. It's a little bit of everything because it's nice to see, and it's also crappy to know that if school boards just had better education, she wouldn't be responsible for so much.
Yeah, she wouldn't have to do the advocating. Can you imagine a world, you know, where our kids don't have to?
It would be so nice. It would be nice for me, for sure.
Yeah.
But it would also be so, it'd be so much less work for everyone.
Everyone, right?
Yeah. And so when we see so many protests taking place, that basic education about the existence of humans is grooming kids, that it's like all of this stuff is just, some days it's hard to get out of bed when you see these kind of things. So
it's really heavy. And I can see that it's heavy on you.
Yeah.
It's heavy as all hell. And it's awful, right? And we're forgetting about the humanity of the people behind it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now it's, you know, in these legislative, you know, bills on a piece of paper. And
exactly. Yeah. And I think that's become like the difficult part, is that it's become harder to separate who it is that's kind of thinking this way, because it's now people in it's families in Charlotte's classroom who are, you know, like it's people who are close to us who are thinking this way and everything now. So it used to just be like when I was on Twitter, it would be people who were just being angry at me, and it was easier to kind of just sweep it off as being like, okay, whatever. But now we can put like thesis to some of this stuff, and it's just like, ugh, this is not quite as fun anymore. It's a little bit harder to kind of brush it aside when you can identify people a little more easily as to who is thinking this way about you and your family. And it's just, it just weighs a bit heavier, like you mentioned. So
yeah, it's heartbreaking. And I honestly, you know, I'm over here in the States, and I didn't realize it had spread so much in Canada, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was getting as bad as it sounds like it is here. This is my fear. It's this stuff is spreading like wildfire.
Yeah.
It's misinformation and it's ignorance, and it's really scary.
It is.
And it's life-threatening. It is literally life-threatening.
Yep, it is.
You had a beautiful post. I'm talking about a post again. You had a beautiful post where you had your medicines lined up, your hormone.
Yep.
It was what you wrote that I think a tear came to my eye. I'm not even kidding. I can't remember exactly what you wrote, and I don't want to butcher it, but it was something to the effect of, I need this. This makes me me. I don't remember what you said. Yeah. I don't know if you remember it, but it was beautifully written. And I feel like you need to like speak in Congress or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was about those moments too, about like trying to be aware of those moments for myself as well, and not taking them for granted. Because I can forget myself just how important having access to those medications are for me. Mm. And I take all of those pills like twice a day, and it's so important to have access to those things. I mean, I still pay this is even with some coverage for them, I still pay a decent amount of money for those medications. And it's like, it's difficult, the amount of like the limited access there is to trans healthcare is crappy. And this is in this healthcare utopia of Canada, right? So or Canada.
Thanks.
Like it's there is some coverage in some places for medication, and there are some provinces where there's some gender affirming surgery coverage, not where I am for sure, but like it's really difficult to to get access to a lot of the things that some, not all trans people would like to have access to.
Right. And we deserve access to everything that we
would like access to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Everybody does. Everybody deserves it, right?
Yeah.
And for those who, because I've gotten comments like this, you know, like for those who think that the more we talk about this stuff and the more we allow this stuff, the more we're going to make the children like us.
Yeah.
Turn the kids gay, turn the kids trans because we're being visible.
Yeah.
The argument that they're pushing there, like it's so hard to argue against it because they have their like ridiculous statistics and now there's more trans people than ever. And it's because, you know, we're allowing them to, you know, we're allowing these groomers to make the rest of them trans too. And that's, you know, that's not the case. No, it's just, you know, what is probably the case is there are a lot more LGBTQ people in the world than any of you even realize.
Yeah. There are still probably way more who can't come out, can't share their truth than who can.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's that really basic kind of meme or phrase of no one is trying to turn your straight kid trans. We're trying to keep trans kids alive, right?
Yeah.
So and it's really, it's such a basic premise that there's...
It's so annoying. If that argument were really the case, then I'd be straight right now because I watched Romancing the Stone as a kid and I watched every single movie that had a straight romance in it. I'm still not straight.
Exactly.
Didn't work, right? So it's really infuriating. And I brought that up just because, you know, you are trans, you are a trans parent, and you have a trans child. And in the States, right now, in some states, your child can get taken away from you for allowing it, you know?
Exactly.
And then also having you be trans yourself, like, where do we draw the line here? Where's the line? The line is never going to get drawn because this is a really slippery, scary, awful slope that we're headed down if we don't change this world more positively.
There are places in the States that we could not travel to as a family.
Right.
Like it's, we just couldn't go anymore. I mean, that's just, and it's not really, and it's got to the point where it's not just we couldn't go out of political choice. We now just couldn't go out of safety. Like it's, as Canadians too, we can't think that that's not happening here either, because it's for about the second time in a month we have this thing called the 1 million parents march coming to protest all of the education and all of the save our children kind of education in our schools, and it's like nationwide, and so it's like it's here, like it's happening. We just are, you know, one election away from it all happening again. So
scary. So scared. I'm knocking wood. I am knocking wood. I am literally knocking wood right now. Yeah. So like, I don't expect us to have a solution to this because obviously if we had one, we'd be doing, I mean, I think we are doing it. And I think
so. Yeah.
The only solution we can do at this point is to be visible and to be brave and to represent. And I think you are doing a just wonderful job of it. I'm just happy that to know you and happy to know you're out there and being you. And you is beautiful. And
thank you.
I am grateful for you. And
thank
we
you.
All should be. The whole fucking world. Excuse my French.
We'll just continue talking and sharing these things, right?
So yeah. These conversations deserve a bigger seat at the table.
They do.
Right? They really do. And so until these conversations are really the bigger conversations, the real honest and true conversations, then we got a long road ahead of us.
Yep.
Sadly. God, this was supposed to be like up. This is always uplifting. But your kids are doing amazingly.
Yes.
Right?
I do agree.
Yeah, and you're doing great, and you're changing the world, Em.
We are.
I don't know if I am, but you are, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Can you tell everybody where they can find you? And you have a podcast too, so let's talk about that.
Because of my, what I like to call, iffy mental health, I'm able to do my podcast only when my brain allows me to.
Got it.
It's basically just an extension of, really, I've kind of cut my social media down just to Instagram, which mm-hmm. is the M. Reynolds right now. It's really just a discussion around different elements of what I've called a second puberty for me. It's around kind of what we've talked about a little bit today, some of the expected and unexpected parts of transition. Mm-hmm. And so it's, again, documenting some of the difficult social aspects and physical aspects, talking about what it's like to transition later in life, some of the good parts of that, some of the difficult parts of that. And really just, I mean, it's lighthearted sometimes, it's heavy sometimes, it's mm-hmm. sometimes both in the same mm-hmm. really short episode, but it's a lot of the time, it's really often just for me to be able to document a lot of my own thoughts and feelings on things that can be really difficult if I don't have places to share them. And yeah. so if I can't share them in like an Instagram caption, I like to be able to write them out or talk mm-hmm. them out sometimes. So that's kind of where they go.
Is that how the account started?
Amazingly, the Instagram account started as a fatherhood account.
Oh. And
shifted over time. I didn't even delete. I have not deleted anything from before. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it started as a dad talking feminism account, and then was dad who cross stitches account, and it just kind of slowly shifted. You can basically see a transition through my account.
It was that is yeah. amazing.
Yeah. So that's really how the Instagram account started.
And did they stay with you not all of them?
Yeah, some did, some didn't. I mean,
interesting.
Kind of the way it goes, right? But
yeah,
we were very progressive with our kids and the way we talked about our kids. So it's not like there was a all at once drop off or anything. Growth has been slower as a trans person than as a progressive father.
Interesting.
Sure.
But, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's infuriating. And also, okay, everybody, go follow the M. Reynolds, it's EMMEREYNOLDS.
You got it.
I got it. The M. Reynolds. Go follow right now and put some love up there. Because God knows we all need that love. Because, you know, like really, for every one loving comment we get maybe three hateful ones, you know? So, especially if you're on YouTube, don't go to YouTube.
Oh,
people
they're
like piranhas. They're insane. They're assholes. Excuse my I've been swearing a lot. I'm sorry, Em.
Hey, no, in my dad blogging days, I wrote a post about why we let our kids swear. So this is
I can read that.
Yeah, that was I think that one was on Yahoo or something. So
yeah, well, you got to learn how to use them responsibly, right? You got to learn how to use the swears.
That's what the post was about. Yeah.
Yeah. If you use them responsibly and you put them in the right mm-hmm. place, they have a time and a place. They really do. But don't just like, you know.
Using swears, but not towards people and stuff, right? So it was but swearing can be really valuable.
Oh,
I don't know
how
I would operate without swears.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good sometimes.
Exactly.
To say a good F-bomb, like just drop that F-bomb. It just makes the point.
Essential to my communication often. So.
Yeah. Oh my God, this has been really such a pleasure.
It really has been.
The name of your podcast is called A Second Puberty. And so go listen to the episodes and they drop when they drop. And that's and we love that.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to say it.
Well, thank you so much, Em.
Yes, thank you.
I am looking forward to reading more of your posts.
Awesome.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thanks once again to our sponsor, California Cryobank. Don't forget, y'all, use that code QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about it. Go make them. Go ahead.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.